name is Beth Green, and I am the children's pastor at Living Water. It's in Olympia, Washington, here, the state of Washington, the capital city, actually. We have this kind of back and forth about whether Washington or Oregon are the least churched states. I don't know the truth there, but I can say we probably are the 49th and 50th of the spiritual states. And we are in the capital city in Olympia, so I think that's on purpose, and we're trying to be all about our community and bring Jesus to the center of it. We are a fairly big church. We see a couple thousand people, and I see 300-plus kids every weekend, so birth through fifth grade. That could make some of you go, gosh, that is nothing like what church looks like for me. I want you to know from the beginning what I have to share with you and what the Lord really brought to my heart is not something that has to do with the size of church you're at or any of those logistics. It's really about you as the leader and the vision and structure that the Lord has brought me through in the last year, and that is going to be a tangible thing you can do no matter how big or small or what city you're in or what the culture is, that you could take this and make it work. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can't take exactly what I have given you or what I'm going to share with you and make it work exactly like you need at your church. You're going to have to take ideas and say, Jesus, how would I do that? What does that look like in my context? So it's not a copy and paste. It took a lot of prayer. But I want to share what my story and journey has been in the last year and what the Lord's taught me through it. And my hope and prayer has been that this will be encouraging for you, that you'll leave with some really tangible ideas of things you could work and pray through, and that we leave knowing each other better. Good? Okay. So I'm a mom. My husband and I got married 18 months out of high school, and then we got pregnant right away. We have an 8, 9, and 10-year-old, which means all three of them were in diapers at once, and I survived. We're in elementary school now, and it's amazing. We are at the soccer field every Saturday, rain or shine, Pacific Northwest. My kids are very different. I've got an extrovert as extrovert as extrovert could be, and I've got a social introvert, and I've got a very much introvert. She mean mugs everyone that walks past. So we're working on it. I am very extroverted. I love people. So when the Lord called me to be a pastor, I was like, okay, I can be about people. Awesome. I love kids. I did not realize when I said yes to being a children's pastor that I would work so little with children. I work a lot with junior hires that are on our volunteer team. I work a lot with high schoolers, young adults, and a lot of grown-ups. But I know that, hi, Dave. I know that that is the way that it has to happen to make sure the ministry is happening for those kids. So, passionate about kids ministry, but I'm not actually in it changing diapers, wiping bottoms and noses, and, you know, I have to come in and be bad cop sometimes, really. It's okay, though. A little history on me is I grew up in Olympia, Washington, but like I said, unchurched. And I literally had no concept of Jesus except for baby Jesus at Christmas until I was 18 years old. At all. I did not know who was on that cross at the Catholic church that I had come and gone to some weddings at. I had literally no concept at all. I knew who God was. That was a big idea I could understand. But Jesus, other than he was born at Christmas time in a barn, nothing. People keep asking me, like, even Easter? Yeah, Easter was about bunnies and yeah, like new hope because flowers bloom. So I started dating my husband senior year, and he asked me about Jesus because he realized about a weekend, this is going to be serious and I can't marry her if she doesn't know Jesus. And luckily, I was open to figuring out who this Jesus guy was. He walked me through a salvation prayer, and then my life went through, well, lots of babies and hormones. And then I did Operation Solid Lives, which we did at Living Water, but was, you know, started out of The Rock in Anaheim, and my life was radically transformed. I have a pre and a post OSL in my life. And that's where I felt the Lord call me. I always thought I'd be a teacher, so this whole, like, kid thing made sense. And then I could never finish school. I was like, this just doesn't feel right. So when the Lord said, ah, I called you to ministry, and we had leaders in our lives that called things out in us, it made sense. I was like, oh, finally, I'm seeing this picture, Jesus. I guess I should ask you what you want to do with my life, you know, because I had a plan. So through all that, I've been really invested in at Living Water. I got licensed. I became the children's pastor, and I feel like I am exactly where the Lord wants me to be. And the things he's put on my heart are to be a resource and to be about the people, the person that is sitting right in front of me. Because I am very task-oriented and would very much like to just check things off my list. Even if I have to write them on my list because I've already accomplished them and then I can check them because it feels good. Right? So I am supposed to be about that person in front of me. The tasks go done, and I am supposed to love and be Jesus to that person and minister to them, whether they know Jesus or not. And I'm supposed to be a resource. So I was really excited at the opportunity to come and share with you guys today. Like I said at the beginning, I don't think I have all the answers. I do think I've been doing this for a while, and the Lord has done a huge work on my heart and in the ministry that I'm leading and the church that I'm a part of in the last year, and that's the journey I want to walk you through today. But like I said, at the end, we're going to discuss, because I know that I will leave encouraged by your guys' experience and what you have to share as well. So let's pray, and then we'll dive into some of that material that you got passed out to you when you walked in the door. Well, Jesus, we thank you for trusting us with your kids. We thank you that we can come before you and get filled up, Jesus, and get vision and mission and strategy, but that when it really comes down to their hearts, you do all the work, and we just get to have fun with them, Jesus. So I pray for every minister in this room and the family they represent, the churches they represent, the communities that they represent. Lord, I just pray that you do a work on them, do a revival in their hearts, Jesus, so that it can just reach further and further and further, and your kingdom can come on this earth as it is in heaven. I pray that miraculous signs and wonders start happening, that kids leave church on fire for you like never before, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, receiving their prayer languages, and they go home and they change their homes, and they change their schools, and they change their soccer teams and their dance teams and their karate studios, Jesus. And I pray that through the work of your kids, miracles happen. People are healed. And that the glory goes to you, because these kids are so full of faith and they have leaders that are calling out your mighty works in them, because you don't see them as less than. You see them as willing vessels, your hands and feet to this broken world. So I pray blessing and health and wellness and encouragement and supernatural joy and energy over this group as they're here at convention and Sunday's coming. I pray that you cover their classrooms, you bring teachers for their rooms, and that there is just an abundance of help as they leave being encouraged this week, going into the harvest that you've called them to. So Jesus, we love you and we thank you that you trust us and that you always provide. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen? All right. So you have a packet in front of you. The top sheet is a fill in the blank, because I don't teach very often like this, and I want to keep myself on track and make sure you get the things that I really felt like the Lord wanted to deposit to you. So I'm going to do my best to make sure I stay in that correct order. But if I say something, you're like, raise your hand. Shout it out. We can have a conversation. And then further on, there are just some resources that I really wanted you guys to have some options of. So you don't have to take a look at all of that right now in detail. But I did want to give you some tangible examples of the things I'm talking through in this, and let you know I put my email at the top of that first sheet. So if you want electronic copies of anything, I firmly believe if somebody has already created something, you could take it and tweak it. Don't spend all of your time and energy trying to create something from scratch that somebody's already toiled over for hours, okay? Let's help each other out. So if you want electronic copies, you can email me and I'll send you as much as you want, okay? All right, so the first thing I wanted to share with you guys today is just a word of encouragement that I've been sitting on for a while, and I felt like this is the most appropriate room of people that the Lord would want to share this with. So we all know the story in Mark 9. The disciples are arguing about who's the greatest, right? And And Jesus says, Jesus knows and is asking them, what are you talking about? And his example to them is a servant is the greatest, right? And then when he specifically goes into it, he says, whoever receives this child receives me, and whoever receives me receives my Father. That's you guys. That's what you're doing. It matters to Jesus. And it might not always feel like it matters to everybody else, but it matters to Jesus. And you don't always, you know, you never have the five-year-old walking up saying, oh my gosh, what a great message. Thank you. It really impacted my life. Let me share all the fruit that's coming from it. You're doing the hard work. You're planting the seeds. Your fruit is long coming. And yeah, sometimes we get to see that little glimmer, and sometimes you get that kid that goes all the way through your ministry and you get to see it. But a lot of times you don't. But Jesus sees it. Their parents get to see it. They probably won't remember the specific message that changed them, but they'll remember the way you made them feel. I'm at a church that's over 80 years old, and I cannot tell you how many people have come and said, gosh, I was in the foster system, and I don't know where else to go, but I know when I was in the foster system, I came here once, and I remember what I felt like, so I just decided to come back. It matters. What you're doing matters. So thank you. Thank you as a mom. It matters. Okay, so we are going to get into a scripture. The scripture the Lord took me to for this session is Ephesians 3. We're going to do verses 14 through 21, and we're gonna refer back and forth to it. But I'm going to read it to you first so that you've got context, and then I'm going to walk you through some questions, and we're going to refer back to the scripture. So Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, it says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So we're going to refer back to this throughout my discussion with you today. But what I want to do today is walk through four questions that I think you need to ask yourself about ministry. And I think if you really honestly ask these questions and answer them, search your heart, pray, ask Jesus how he feels the answers to these questions go, that you're going to find yourself in a really, really healthy, happy, fun place. So the first question I want to ask is your ministry fruitful? And when I looked at my ministry a year ago, there were a lot of good things happening, but I don't actually feel like it was fruitful. I feel like kids were learning good things. I feel like worship was happening and Bible stories were happening and kids were having fun and there were leaders there that did have relationships. But really when I thought of fruit, it was lacking. Not that there was none, but I wouldn't say it was fruitful. So 12 months ago, why didn't I feel like it was fruitful? Well, people started asking me really hard questions for me to answer. They started asking me, hey, Beth, why don't you have more adult leaders in classes? Hey, Beth, where are the like older than 21 grown-ups? Beth, you've got a lot of junior leaders. How's recruitment going? When I walk into your class, nobody says hi to me. Like, it doesn't feel very welcoming. It seems crazy. Do they even know that people are entering the classroom? And I was like, I don't have good answers for these. I mean, I could have made excuses, but the reality was I did not have good answers for these. And what it did in me when these questions kept getting asked was it made me really defensive. I was like, whoa, yeah, we've got a volunteer problem. How do you expect me to fix this? I think this is a bigger issue. I think there's volunteer issues all over the place, and because I have ratios, I feel like the finger's getting pointed at me. And it brought up this really negative feeling inside of me. So then I ended up sitting down I don't even remember why, but I ended up in my senior pastor's office one day, and I actually am fortunate enough to have a senior pastor that used to be our children's pastor. So he gets it, okay? And we sat down, and we had a great conversation, and he ended up telling me, Beth, I need you to know that your ministry, children's ministry, and my ministry, the pulpit, preaching, are two things that are going to majorly drive our church's growth and health. And I sat there like, oh, crap. And at first I was like, oh my gosh, again, defensive. How am I going to do this? And then realized after talking to my husband, who often helps me when I'm not reacting well, he was like, babe, he trusts you. Your leader, our pastor, trusts you. He didn't accidentally put you in this role. He didn't accidentally have this conversation with you. He's challenging you to raise up and do it. And with Jesus, we can do this. And I was like, all right, with Jesus and my husband's encouragement, we're going to do this. But it meant that we had to really look at these questions. We had to really find answers for these tough questions that had brought up so much defensiveness in me. And I couldn't have come to solutions if I hadn't addressed what the actual issues were to begin with. So as we started navigating these questions, I realized I was operating in a lot of old habits. There were a lot of events and structures in place that I didn't put there. And they weren't bad, but we were just kind of operating because Sunday's always coming, and it's really hard to change things when you're just in that daily, weekly, seasonal grind. So I really started taking a step back and assessing what was going on. I really had to stop being distracted by what had happened and what other leaders had done and really ask Jesus what he wanted to do now. What did he want LW Kids, Living Water Kids, to look like and be and feel and do now? With me as the children's pastor, what did he want to do in me? What was he going to work through me as the leader now? Which meant I actually had to take the time to pray through it and listen. So that started just this revival in me. I started to get excited. I felt encouraged by leaders instead of poked at. I started really seeking the Lord and started to get excited about what was going on. And it led me to really examining what my calling is. So I had said after OSL, I knew I was called to children's ministry. I also had to assess what my assignment was. Children's pastor at Living Water, is that right? Is that the right seat on the bus for me to have? And then I had to examine, is this season of life that I'm in the right one for these? Because like I said, I have little kids. My husband's got a full-time job. Am I in the right season to be able to accomplish this assignment? And if I'm not in the right season to do the assignment, that doesn't actually change my calling. You need all three of those to line up: your calling, your assignment, and the season of life you're in for you to fully operate well. Which made it so that I really got to examine where I found my identity. Because if I really said, Jesus, if you want me to step away, if you want somebody else to do this, I'm not questioning who you've made me and created me to be. I'm just saying, all right, I can step aside right now. So those are those fill in the blanks: calling, assignment, and season. Once I had navigated all that, I did realize I knew my calling. I was in the right assignment, my seat on the bus, and it was the right season for me. But I knew it, and I knew it from Jesus, not just because I could talk myself through it. Then I had to figure out how, Jesus. I'm here. What do you want to do? How are we going to do this? So I really wrestled through feeling like I was trying to control the situation. And as I really processed through that, the Lord is really good at reminding me of these things that He is way better at than me, even though I want to take the credit. And He reminded me that even in Genesis, He was the God of order. He created the world, and there was structure, and His words were powerful, and that's okay. So I could take children's ministry, and I could create structure. I firmly believe, no matter what size of church you're at, structure is going to help you. Whether you have staff, whether you are paid, no matter what your team size is, that structure is going to help. So then as I'm really pressing in, like, Jesus, what else? What else are you going to teach me in this book that's going to help me with this structure? He reminded me in Exodus, where Moses, you know, he's the leader of Israel, and he finds himself like, gosh, everybody's coming to me. Everyone's coming to me. What do I do? And he needed somebody from the outside to step in, his father-in-law Jethro, to say, you need leaders of fives, and you need leaders of tens, and you need leaders of hundreds. So that I was like, okay, Jesus, structure, order, I can do that. Leaders of tens, leader, okay, I can do that. I can do that. So it pushed me to figure out how I was going to create a structure in our team that filtered out to where not everybody was dependent on communication directly from me, meeting face-to-face with me. Because the reality is, at the time, I had 148 team members, and I couldn't do it. That just is not wise. I would not have enough time to know what's happening in their life, to love them and lead them and pastor them and shepherd them. There's just not enough time in the day. Ever. So I needed structure. So I sat down and I was so excited, and I was like, I'm going to create an org chart. And I spent hours trying to create an org chart, and my head hurt. Like, my husband kept looking at me like, are you okay? Yes, I'm getting there. But it was a huge org chart because I wanted to know everything that I needed. All of the roles, we have three different services. What does this look like? What am I looking for? What does this big picture look like that Jesus needs? And that structure gave us the vision to move forward with all the other tangible steps. So if you have not taken the time to create an org chart, I would highly encourage just sitting down and doing it. It doesn't even have to be pretty. It just has to be what you know. Because when people came to me and said, how can I help you? What do you need? I actually knew now what I needed. So in that, as I navigated all these things, I realized two really big things. The first was I had kind of made old systems and old ideas into these false idols, for lack of a better term. That's your next fill in the blank, is the false idols. Because what a false idol is something that is not Jesus, that we ascribe the attributes of Jesus too. So we say, oh, look how good this is. Look at all the joy coming out of this. And you make it about that thing, that event, that structure, that person, instead of about Jesus. So I had to back up like 10 steps and say, it's all yours, Jesus. What are you going to do? What do you want to do? And it felt weird because it didn't feel like they were bad things. We think of false idols and we think of these like terror, like a golden cow, right? They weren't bad things. But if it's not about Jesus, you're missing the mark. The other thing I realized was because I had been operating in all these things that were just going, that I was leading like the prior children's pastor before me was. Which means I was walking around in her armor, operating like she wanted to operate. And the thing about walking around in somebody else's armor is you don't realize how uncomfortable and awkward and exhausting that is until you take their armor off and you start figuring out what your own armor looks like. And I thought I knew myself. And I didn't really know myself until I took that armor off and started saying, Jesus, how did you make me? How do you want me to operate? what jobs in children's ministry are the things that you have uniquely gifted me with that are life-giving when I do them? Now, we all have to, I mean, I still don't like scheduling on Planning Center. It's still hard. But I do it because I know I'm about people. And me having that touch with my whole team is really important. And when I need that sub and I'm the one contacting them, that's the right things for me to be doing. I was filling a lot of holes in areas that I can do, I'm capable, but they were not life-giving, so I was exhausted. I was burnt out. I wasn't sure I wanted to be the one to do all this work. Until I put my own armor on and realized I can do this. I can do this in my own calling. And then had to assemble a team around me that filled in those gaps of areas that are not my giftings instead of me trying to fill those gaps myself. So armor is your next blank. So when I'm really honest with you, I had to decide if I wanted to be this person. Did I want to be the leader that was going to do this? Because it looked like it was going to be a lot of work to change all these things, to make all these adjustments, to look at everything from the foundation up and decide how to maneuver this the way that the Lord was directing us. And once I had decided, I can do this. I can operate in my strength. I can do this. I then got really scared and had to ask Jesus if he wanted me to be the one to do it. Did he really trust me? Did he trust, I mean, my senior pastor had called on me, but did Jesus actually trust me to do this? Because it didn't feel like something that was going to happen in a few months. It felt like something we were going to be working on long term, and it was going to be foundational to set up for who knows how long. And that felt overwhelming. So I decided, instead of just going through the motions and really getting the high fives along the way, because I'm pretty competent at my job, I can go through and people will still see good things, and I can spin any conversation we need to reflect what positive things are happening. I needed to take a step back and ask Jesus, what did he want to do? And the truth about that question is really that in the immediate, only I know if I've really asked him and what he said and moving forward. We all know strategies and what books say and all those, but if I wasn't asking Jesus, that was up to me. So going back to our question, is it fruitful? I had to ask myself, am I seeking high fives or am I seeking fruit? Because those high fives feel really good. Those high fives from parents, from your senior pastor, from staff members, they feel good. Sometimes the process of getting the fruit doesn't feel as good. What I realized as I really started to answer this question was I had to address the problems before I could find the solutions. And really what was cool about when I figured that out was we started creating this culture that we celebrated the wins that were happening, and we had created this safe environment where I wasn't being defensive, and we could talk about next time opportunities. So we call those NTOs, wins and NTOs. What's awesome? What was good? Let's celebrate those things, but as a team, let's talk about what could we do better next time? What did we miss? What did we learn? And it created a lot of safety and community in those, like, kind of debriefing conversations. Find the fruit, not the high fives, and then address the problems before you can find the solutions. So going back to our scripture in Ephesians, we're going to go back up there, and I'm going to share with you what the Lord spoke about my ministry being fruitful. So he, in verses 14 through 16, it says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." And it's really that humbleness, that bowing before the Lord, that I found myself on my knees asking Jesus, "What do you want to do here? What do you want to do in me? Are you sure you want it to be me?" And through that, he gave me so much excitement and so much courage to step forward and do something different. So the next question that I want to ask your about your ministry is it focused? So we had created this culture that we were going to ask hard questions. And so what did I do? I prayed. I spent a lot of praying, for sure. And then I started asking more questions. I asked the people that had been serving on my team that were brand new. I asked people that had been serving for decades. I asked my staff members. I asked my peers. I asked my senior pastors. I asked the internet. Was not always as helpful, but still reference. We visited other churches, which I know is hard. Getting away to experience what church at a different church is when you have responsibilities at your church. But it was a huge investment to go and see and experience a church that we really respected and how they did things. We learned so much and then got to take it home and pray about it and tweak things to fit us. So I just continued to ask questions. And when I really came down to it and I was like, okay, Jesus, what should I be asking you in your word? I was left with, well, what's our mission? What does Jesus tell us to do? And he tells all of us that we're commissioned, right? The Great Commission, to go and make disciples, right? So if that's our goal, that's everybody, right? That's Christians. And then I had to look at, well, in children's ministry, I fall under the leadership of my senior pastor. So what I feel like Jesus is pushing us towards should fit under the umbrella of what my senior pastor is doing. So what is Living Waters' mission? And we want to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, mind, body, and soul. And then our vision going forward is at Living Water, we're a church that makes disciples that makes disciples. And I was like, well, good. I'm so glad my senior pastor's mission falls under what I hear from the Lord from the Great Commission. Perfect. But then what does that mean for children's ministry? And am I doing that? Am I making disciples that make disciples? And when I asked that question, I felt like I was failing completely. We were discipling. We were teaching kids great Bible stories. We were worshiping. It wasn't that things were terrible. But when I started to examine what it looked like for my team as a whole, my Bible story teachers and my small group leaders and my nursery workers, was that environment and that structure that was set up, was that something that helped make disciples that make disciples? Am I empowering them to go and share the gospel with the people they're around? Am I empowering them to do the work? And I didn't feel like I was doing that. So I had to really establish what that vision and mission looks like for children's ministry. And through much prayer and talk with leaders, we landed on, for our children's ministry, that we want kids to know and experience Jesus. So we want them to know in their head and know things, right? We want them to know the Bible. We want them to know Scripture. But we didn't want it to stop there. We wanted them to experience Jesus. We want to have space for the Holy Spirit to move in their classrooms. We want them to learn how to respond and hear the Lord's voice, you know, not just head, but heart. And then I was like, well, we need a strategy. We need something that not only the kids in the classroom, but the leaders and hopefully, eventually, families will grab onto how we're doing this. And we landed on, in children's ministry, we were going to love God, love others, and have fun. So we are going to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Love God, love others. And it's not just fun because it's children's ministry. It's fun because relationships happen when you're having fun together. Whether that means games, whether that means snack. I mean, we made changes. We brought snack back to elementary, and they were so excited. Those goldfish. But to create space and make that community aspect a huge priority for us. So I had a vision, I had a mission, I had a strategy. That wasn't going to work, though, if it ended with me. So I had to create structure and clarity, which means I had to figure out a way to communicate all of these things that the Lord was speaking to us to the whole team. So are you getting your fill in the blanks? Okay, so is your ministry focused? The church is commissioned. Do you know the vision and mission of your church? Find your vision and strategy. And don't be scared of structure It creates clarity for your team. So I had come up with vision. I had come up with strategy. I was figuring out how that I needed to be able to communicate this to the team to create clarity. And you know, with that clarity comes unity, that we're all on the same team, whether you're praying for babies in the nursery and rocking them and helping them when they are crying because drop-off is so hard, or you're praying with the fourth grader that has shared that his parents are going through a divorce. We're all on the same team. And through this mission and strategy and structure and clarity, my team finally started to feel like they were on that same team. But like I said, there was a lot of work to do, and I was overwhelmed at the amount of work there was to do. So in your little packet I handed you, I've given you some examples of some of the things we worked on. I'm not going to spend a ton of time going into detail on them. It is something, if you want, I'm going to be around and we can talk through things. But I wanted you to have some resources that you were taking home. So some of the things we did were we created a service lead role. So really every service, every classroom at every service had a service lead. That service lead's job is to pastor that classroom. They know all the leaders, all the kids, all the parents, and that is their home base. And what it means for me with structure is that's my core team. I talk to them on the phone. We have phone meetings every week. We have monthly face-to-face meetings. We are in constant communication about the things I need them to know and what they need me to know. And it's not just those tangible. It's a weekly phone call because sometimes I just pray for them, or sometimes they pray for me, or sometimes I just need to know that their kid's graduating next week and life is stressful. But because we're not just needing them to do work, we love them and we're shepherding them. So I have a lot of phone meetings every week, and it was a big adjustment. We made job descriptions. Like, remember I told you we made an org chart? We made job descriptions for every single role on that org chart. And it took a long time, okay? That is why I said, if you want things emailed to you, let me email them to you and you can adjust things. Don't start from scratch. I took what the church that we visited, I took their stuff and adapted it. So don't recreate the wheel on your own. So we made job descriptions. That really helped because the people that were coming to join our team are people that are working in the marketplace. We like to function in really like, come, try it out, check it out, let's see where you fit, oh, we'll figure it out. If they were going in and interviewing for a job, they would come in, there'd be a job description, there'd be expectations, there'd be clarity. So these job descriptions really helped people feel like, oh, I know what I'm signing up to do. I asked people to sign up for a year so they weren't signing their life over to children's ministry, because that's one of the things that holds people back. Is they feel like, if I start, I'm never going to get out of here. Now, I don't let them out easy, because if they're leaving, they should be serving somewhere else. We should be sending them somewhere else. But that allows us to have those conversations, and it allows our discipleship process to work, because we're not just saying, come on, this is just what we always do. Hey, it's been a year. Let's talk. How are things going? What are you doing? Maybe they want to become a service lead. There's lots of different potential for growth with structure and clarity. In your packet, you'll also see there's an expectation sheet. I have a manual. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do two morning and one evening. I actually have 14 different classes that are happening because not every service is the same. So I have lots and lots of service leads. Yes. Service leads are every Sunday. Mm-hmm. For a year. I'll get a little more into detail in that process too as we keep going. The expectation sheet you're going to see, it says Living Water Kids, LB Kids, Elementary. This is just my elementary option. I have other age groups. I have a manual. It's 42 pages. It's important to have. Most people aren't going to read all that. This is like a quick sheet for them to get the basics. So when they come and meet with me, because I have a face-to-face interview, for lack of a better term, with every new team member, I give them job descriptions. I'll bring a few options because they might not know what they want. And I bring the expectation sheet. I'll bring this vision. You have a vision one too, just so they can take home more of what I'm sharing with them. Because if I sit down for an hour, they're going to hear a lot of information and they're not going to retain all of it. So giving them information to take home really helped them continue to process the information and come back to me with good questions or an answer of what they want to do. And then as I said, the Lord really, how did Jesus turn our ministry upside down? He did. We reoriented classrooms, like remodeled the rooms. We changed our curriculum. We had this new structure with new roles. We reoriented how we do meetings. We started utilizing video for a lot of our training because we weren't getting the bulk of our team to be able to gather in one place at one time. So I started doing monthly training videos on an app called Zoom. If you have not heard of that, it's fantastic. You can use it for conference calls, but you can also use it to make a recording and then send it out. So I send out at least one monthly training video that's under 5 minutes to the whole team. And sometimes somebody on my team will do it, but we send something out to continue the training process, and it's created a lot of great discussion. This last month, at Easter, we had a fire alarm go off during one of our Easter services. It was awesome because children's ministry responded just like they were supposed to, and it wasn't a real fire. It was the haze from worship. But it was a great, like, oh, for my next monthly training, I'm going to send a reminder of what our emergency procedures are. I'm going to be able to celebrate the win that at Easter, the team at the 10 o'clock service did fantastic. But let's use this as a moment also to make sure everybody's clear on what we do when that fire alarm goes off. And I sent documents, PDFs, and a video that I got to share my heart. And a video under 5 minutes. We're getting really good response for people actually utilizing it. The other thing two resources that I wanted to share with you that were really helpful as I went through all of that structuring were two books. One is called Your Volunteers by Chris Mavity. He is out of Andy Stanley's church, and they have an amazing volunteer culture. Everybody serves. So that gave a lot of structure and vision for going into org charts and coming up with that clarity and how to really care for team members. The other book is a little older, so some of you might have already looked into it, but Volunteers That Stick by Jim Weidman is probably the best about tangible. What should a job description look like? What about evaluations? What about an exit interview? Those types of things that are going to help give your team more clarity and a voice. Chris Mavity, Mavity, and it's called Your Volunteers. And then Jim Weidman, Volunteers That Stick. Both of them are actually fairly short books, so I just read them, write notes in it. I go back and reread them and check them out to make sure we're still on point. All right. So back to our Ephesians scripture. I had gone through all of this and figured out, is my ministry focused, right? Do I have that clarity that allows my team to really jump on board and fully be a part of this team? And the Lord took me back to verses 17 and 18 here, which say, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth of his love is. And really what had happened I'm telling you, it's a lot of work. But as I went through this, my heart was so expectant and excited. The Lord had really built up this anticipation for what this was going to look like for the team to really buy in. And I knew that it had to happen in me before I could make that happen and cast that vision for the greater team. So he does what he does, and he reminds us how loved we are, and then I can share that out with my team. So question number three is your ministry full? And I don't mean full like numbers, okay? I mean full like satisfied. Are things functioning well? Do you have the team that you need in order to accomplish the mission the Lord has set before you? So, you need a team. That's not an option. You need a team. And as I really wrestled through, okay, Jesus, I need a team. I have a team. I can care for this team. I can cast this vision. And as I casted this vision, people were excited. They were excited to know what Jesus was doing. But how am I gonna grow this team? And you know, we've all read it. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray earnestly. So that's what I could do. I could pray earnestly. And because of all that work I had done with an org chart and job descriptions and roles and structure, I could actually pray specifically for what I was looking for. So I knew in the nursery, I'm looking for prayer warriors, because the nursery is a great intercessory. I didn't want people that just wanted to rock babies. I wanted people that wanted to pray for those babies when they rocked them. So if I knew somebody was just passionate about prayer, I'd go and ask them to be a part of the nursery and cast the vision and ask them to bring that gift and passion the Lord had given them to the nursery. Those families might only get prayed for by that person. And that might be the difference maker for that week for them. I knew that I needed pastors as service leads. That they needed to really care what was happening for the kids, but they needed the pastor, those junior high, high school, young adult grown-ups that were in that room doing all these roles. I knew that I needed people that were creative, that were going to come and tell the Bible story in a new and exciting and fresh way for these kids. And like I said, we had changed curriculum, so we knew things were going to feel different, but really felt like we needed to lean into these team member gifts, just in the same way I needed to wear my armor. I needed them to operate in their armor, and that meant not just putting them in a hole, but figuring out the right place. I have one guy, his name's Rick, and he has tried every place you could possibly serve in children's ministry. And 4 months in, he figured out where he was going to be, and then 2 months later decided to go back to the first place he started at. But he knows exactly where he's supposed to be, and he is passionate about those three-year-olds. So take the time to help them figure out where they're supposed to be and help them operate in their giftings. One of the biggest changes that I made was the way that I asked people. Before, I was really, honestly, coming to them and begging them to just come and join the team. Like, come help me. I need help. Come on. Like, we can figure this out. With all of the vision and structure that Jesus had given, I was able to come and invite people to join this team. I was able to cast the vision that the Lord had put before us and ask them if they felt like they were supposed to be a part of that. And like I said, I have those face-to-face meetings, and I've given them a packet that they could go home and pray about. But that was probably the biggest change for me. Instead of allowing an emotional response in that face-to-face meeting, I would say, awesome, I'm so glad you're excited. Can you please take 24 hours at least to pray about this? Ask Jesus what he wants you to do and come back and let me know what he's told you. Because what I know is it's going to get hard. There's going to be a week that it's just so hard. And do I really want to show up and be the third grade girl small group leader? Can I do that today? And I don't want you to feel like you have to come and do it because of me. You and Jesus have figured this out. And it just changes the conversations that we have as people try to navigate. What is next? Am I supposed to finish this commitment? So that 24 hours to pray about it really empowered my team members to feel like they were owning stepping into this team. So you got to fill in the blanks with the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. So pray earnestly and specifically. And then know what you're looking for, and don't be scared to ask. I asked a lot of people, and some of the people came and said no. And that was okay, because then we had a conversation about, well, what is Jesus telling you to do? And we pointed them to other ministries, because they should be serving somewhere or going and getting healthy, right? But most people came back and said, here, this is what I want to do. I had people say no and then come back 2 months later and say, so the Lord really started, you know, I said no, but he didn't let it go. But then it was between them and Jesus, and if they said no, my feelings weren't hurt, because that's between them and Jesus. And nobody I asked felt bad that I saw leadership potential in them. They all left feeling encouraged that I saw something unique in them that the Lord could use to minister to other people, no matter what their age. So they're encouraged. So don't be scared to ask. So in this, at the end of this Ephesians scripture that I shared, it says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. He will provide. In September, before we did this, like kind of launched all this at the school year, you know, I had 148 team members. I think for my ministry to function really, really well, I probably need 350 team members. Right now, I have 228 team members. So in less than a year, I have 80 new team members. Now, that's with transitions, you know, because people move. We're really close to a military base, so that happens. And I'm going to get ready to lose a couple more that are going off to college this summer, which is great. Send them out. 80 new fully bought-in team members is a miracle. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray earnestly. He'll provide. I promise you he will. And if you can provide clarity and structure that really allows your team and these new people jumping on to know and be a part of it and be excited about what the Lord is doing, sending out videos that you're excited about what's going on and they get to be a part of it, game changer. So as a fourth question for you, it's kind of my bonus question. Is your ministry fun? And I know it should be, we all know it should be fun for the kids, right? And it should be fun for your leaders, but is it fun for you? Do you look forward to going to church on Sunday? To be honest, not every Sunday. I don't every Sunday. There are some Sundays that I'm like, I already had 14 people call out. Jesus, you gotta cover it. And he does. But it should be fun for you. And if it's not, go back to the beginning of this and ask the other three questions with Jesus. Because if you can figure out how to make your ministry fruitful, focused, and full, I promise you it will be fun. So, Jesus, we thank you that you are the Lord of abundance. We thank you that when we ask, that you hear us and that you do provide. So just start working on the hearts of these leaders and the people you know are supposed to be on their teams to reach the kids in their neighborhoods. You know who it is, Lord. So just start pressing in on their heart. And I can't wait to hear from people that have said, I got home from Connection and people just started coming and asking me. These amazing high capacity leaders started coming and asking me what they could do in children's ministry. So we thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you that you work miracles. We thank you that you have a call on every one of the kids' lives in our children's ministry, and that they all have the potential with your Holy Spirit to be world changers. I thank you for these leaders and their hearts to reach them and shepherd them and raise them up. We love you, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, so like I said, I sent you with a packet. Email me if you want more information. The other important thing for me was that we get to connect. So if you have questions or things you want to discuss, we can do that. I will be hanging out for a while. So just feel free to hang out as long as you want in here. I don't think there's anything in here for a little while. And then I did want to point out one. I know you have surveys that you filled out. Natalie's in the back. She will collect those. They're for the National Church. If you didn't get one, do you still have some? Well, if you filled them out, give them to Natalie. And then we have Melissa over here in this corner, and she's from France. And she, the Lord has really put it on her heart to get in touch with kids pastors And she wants to put together a free curriculum resource. So she's calling it Children's Ministry Curriculum Collective. So if you're interested in connecting with her, she would love to get some emails and just be able to connect with you after connection. Because she is trying to put some resources together for some smaller churches that don't have funding to purchase curriculum, but really wants to connect with Foursquare churches to hear what your favorite lessons are that really promote the things that are important to Foursquare that are not always represented in all curriculums too. So if you want to, she's going to be up here and she would love to get your contact information. We are using the Gospel Project. We switched in September. I'm really excited because Gospel Project starts their 3-year scope and sequence over again in this coming September. So we'll start again at creation. And we are doing it from nursery through junior high. And then high school does their own. Oftentimes high school will connect with adults, but not always. And then our young adult ministry follows the adult sermon schedule. So it's been really cool to hear conversations that are happening around dinner tables. The Gospel Project. No, I would say, well, junior leaders for us would be anybody under 18. So there are quite a few junior high and high schoolers, but the bulk of them are actually adults at this point. This clarity has really helped people jump on, and we have those easy onboards that maybe they're on my sub list. I need people I can text every Sunday to fill the holes that we know are going to happen. Or they're a service lead, that's their week. There's a lot of different areas. We have people that help at check-in that's more of that first impression. There's lots of different roles. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for me was that revival in me to be excited about and really seek what the Lord's direction was for our ministry in the area we're in with the kids that we have, the families we have. And part of it was, I didn't get into it, but part of it really was that parent connection part. How are we equipping and resourcing parents to lead this conversation at home that we can come in supplemental? Now, we know not all parents are going to do it, but what are we doing to push that as a priority? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so she's asking about the process of change because you can't do it overnight. I don't know if I would have survived overnight anyways. I had to dig in and do all the background work, so it felt a lot like I was putting a lot of work in and nothing was happening at first because we had to get it all together before we could really start pushing this to the greater team. So I was exhausted before everybody else felt the change, really, and really because things were a little stale. there wasn't the same excitement behind things. When we started bringing in different aspects, the team was really excited. The parents were really excited. And we're to the point now where we did org charts, we did we brought on so many new team members that it feels different. Like I said, we changed the way rooms are set up. So really everything has changed besides the physical location of things. And I mean, we have a lot of the same families, so that's not different, but they are experiencing the change, and we are now able to do the finer tuning. But the order would really be that I had to do all this work that I shared, the packets, right? All those documents. And then I could get to the point that I could share that with the team. I had to pursue service leads first so that I had those pastors in each room. And then once I had those leaders in the room, I could build teams under them so that they could lead those teams and funnel down. Yeah. So one of the biggest changes really was the consistent leaders in the classrooms. Parents started to recognize, like, oh, this person, they don't know they're necessarily a service lead, but they recognize these leaders are in here every week and they're making those connections. The team started getting bigger, so their kids had consistent small group leaders or preschool teachers. It was a huge change overnight in the nursery. We went from having to page people all the time to come and get their babies because they were crying for a long time, to we rarely page anybody anymore because the team just knows these people and knows how to help them, and the kids are more comfortable. Not all the time, but it was a switch. And I think that room is so much easier for us because there's not all the other moving parts, right? So I could see the fruit of that room, which encouraged me to continue pressing into the older classrooms. So parents just started to feel more comfortable. They felt like they were building relationships. Kids were coming home talking about specific people instead of teacher. And we started intentionally putting resources out there for parents. So it was things like, here's a discussion guide for baptisms for children. Take this home and talk with your parents about this. So then when they wanted their kids to get baptized, they had already had conversations at home before they came to have conversations with me. That's just one example of it, but those tangible resources. And if you're interested in any of those, I would happily email those to you as well. But giving them tools to lead the conversations, because we found that a lot of parents weren't having conversations because they were scared they didn't know the answers.
We see a lot of especially younger parents who just don't feel comfortable bringing their kids.
Question is, a lot of younger parents aren't comfortable dropping their babies off in the nursery. What do we do about that? I really encourage parents that it's a great trial. You're eventually going to want a date night or a girls' night out or something. And our nursery happens to just be right next to our sanctuary. So I tell them, this is the best practice you can have. You are literally in the same building. Let us, like, if you only want your baby to cry for 1 minute, we will text you after 1 minute. Just let us know. We also reconfigured some of our rooms. So our nursing mother's room is connected with one of those, like, you know, Dutch doors where the top is open, connects to our nursery. So our nursing moms, they probably have the nicest room in all of children's ministry, and it has 3 seats in it. And everyone's like, are you sure? Yes. Because these moms are getting connected, they're hearing what's happening in other areas of children's ministry, they're getting in life groups and rooted groups, and they're feeling comfortable. So that intentional decision for that square footage has really made moms feel like they're already getting a voice in. Yeah, so volunteer recruiting. I mean, everybody's always looking for answers. I don't feel at all like I have all the answers. This, I cannot tell you enough, this structure really helped, because when people had questions, I could tell them, what about this? What about this? I just started having different conversations. I also, we are fortunate enough to be at a church that really does put a priority on next gen, so kids and youth. And Even throughout the year, we have been able to strategically celebrate what's happening. You know, sometimes that's a camp video to see what's going on there. We do mega sports camp for our VBS, so that's a great onboarding for people to get involved, that we're promoting what's happening in children's ministry. We also do like a back to school Sunday that celebrates. We bring all the kids in and the adults get to pray over them, because if you don't have kids in children's ministry, you oftentimes don't see them. So you can forget that there's this whole other congregation of people meeting all at the same time as you with amazing things happening, because you shouldn't be in children's ministry if you don't have children, right? And then I had to put myself in a place that put me around people. So I am most of the time, as a children's pastor, not in the classroom. I spend a lot of time at check-in and in our lobby interacting with different people. I know I have to be involved in other ministries. So I finished a rooted group. We make sure we do a life group. I make sure that I poke into other ministries. Because if you don't know and have relationship with the other ministries, how are you ever going to find people to come and serve in your ministry? Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Yep, that's really good. Oh, yeah. Amen. Just so you know, session should be getting done. I am more than happy to hang out and we can discuss, so don't feel like you have to rush off, but I do want to make sure you know time-wise that it is 12:30 and our workshop time is done, so I will take my microphone off. But I'm more than happy to hang out and discuss and talk about anything you want. Also, feel free to come and talk with Melissa if you want to give her contact information. Give Natalie back there your surveys and discuss with each other. Get each other's phone numbers. Thank you, guys.